Without your turning to it, may I read for you two verses that were read a while ago. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Notice that, troubled, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Notice trouble, but not distress. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The other day I was reading 2 Corinthians. I love 2 Corinthians. There are a few passages or books in all the New Testament that appeal to me like 2 Corinthians. And I was reading the last line of verse 9, which says, we're cast down, but not destroyed. And I decided to look up the words, cast down, and the words, not destroyed. To my amazement, I found the word cast down is kata valo in the Greek, which means nothing to you, and except the fact that you ought to be very impressed with a Greek scholar preaching behind this pulpit. But the word kata valo means to throw down. Actually, it means to take somebody and with a force knock them down. Just to be quite frank, knocked down. So the Apostle Paul said we are forsaken. It meant we are cast down. It meant we are knocked down. Like a prize fighter in a ring, we are knocked down. Well, that sort of arrested my attention, so I thought I'd look up the word destroyed or the words not destroyed. And I found something very interesting about that. It means knocked out. Knocked out. So what the apostle is saying here, we are knocked down, but not knocked out. And he's talking about a prize fight. I've often said that I think prize fighting is wrong. I think it is sinful. I think it is injurious to the health. I do not think they'll allow prize fights or boxing. But until they do make them illegal, I'm going to watch everyone I can on television. But here's a couple of fellows fighting, and the fella hits the other guy and knocks him down. But the fella says, I'll get up. You've knocked me down, but you've not knocked me out. It's an amazing thing how the Apostle Paul loved athletics. For example, when Paul said one place, I buffet my body every day. The word buffet comes from two Greek words, one which means under and the other which means the eye. He said what he's saying is, I hit myself under the eye every day. Now, under the eye is where the blackness comes. I recall when Brother Fiston and I got in a fight one time. For weeks, he carried a beefsteak around on his eye here. But this is where the blackness comes, the black eye. And so Paul, when he said, I buffet my body, that sounds very beautiful and very poetic in the English, but really what Paul said is, I give myself a black eye every day. He said, every day I just stand myself up and hit myself in the eye, and he said, so I can buffet my body, lest I should become a castaway. Again, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it says, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Paul is likening the Christian life to a race or an Olympic game or a football game or a soccer game. And we, the participants who are still living, are in the game. And all those who've died and gone to heaven are the witnesses of it, like the Rose Bowl. Folks in the Rose Bowl or Cotton Bowl or Sugar Bowl or Soldier Field, sitting up in the grandstand watching the performers on the field. Paul likens the saints who departed in Hebrews 11 to the grandstand, the alumni association up in the grandstand, and those of us who are still on earth as participants in an athletic contest. Paul was no sissy. Paul, he said time and time again, let us run the race. Let us run with patience the race. Let us strive for the masteries, or strive for the Olympic game, or strive to win the race or the contest. Well, I like athletics too. Paul and I have something in common. I'm afraid not enough, but I like sports. I can drive down the street and see two fellows shooting marbles and stop and pull for one of them. I like contests. I like fishing and hunting, but not like I do baseball and football and basketball and tennis and badminton and golf. Anytime somebody can beat somebody, I like it. And especially when it's Namath that gets beat, or Muhammad Ali or Notre Dame. But I have no bitterness, it's just malice and grudges, that's all. But I have a scar on my leg. I'll not show it to you, but I have a scar on my leg about that long. I got playing football. I was playing football in the street and running for a pass, looking back to catch the pass. There's a car happened to want to occupy the place, and so I ran into the car, and I have a scar. I when I was a kid, I grew up playing ball. In fact, I made mention the other day that the Brooklyn Dodgers wanted to sign me to a contract. Now, hold it. Not for the – that's now the Los Angeles Dodgers. They want me to play for the big team. They want to send me down to some little minor league and hope maybe someday I'd amount to something and work my way up, but they offered me a contract. I've always liked baseball. I've always liked sports. When I was a young man, I was a semi-professional softball pitcher. And I can recall one time, I was the mascot at the Cotton Bowl game of 1832. But I was the mascot of the game because I wrote an essay, entered a nationwide essay contest for all the people in the country when Fordham was playing Texas A&M in the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Day. And my essay won, and I was the mascot of the team. I broadcast a baseball game when I was about 11 years of age because they had a contest in Dallas for the kids to come and broadcast a game. I love sports. I love them very much. Now, Paul also loves sports. And he said, when you get down, he said, you may be knocked down, but get up. Don't quit. You may get kicked out of school, and you may be knocked down, but get back up. Maybe you flunked one semester of a course, and you're knocked down, but get back up. Maybe you've had a reversal at work and you've been knocked down, but get back up! Paul is writing to the Corinthian people. A church, not a good church. The worst of all the churches whom he wrote. He did not write this to the Philippian church or the Ephesian church or the Thessalonican church. It was the worst church of all. The church of babies, the church of carnal people. And Paul said, okay, so you've been knocked down. Get back up! He said, knocked down, but not knocked out. I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but So I decided to examine the rest of this verse, and I was amazed. You athletic fans, you ought to love 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9. First it said, trouble but not distress. Now, in the English, that looks like just, you have trouble, but don't be distressed. But I checked it. You know what it really says in the Greek? Pressed but not penned. Pressed but not penned. Now, let me ask you a question. About what sport is he talking there? Wrestling, sure. Pressed, Paul said, You're pressed, but not penned. Now, we won't act this out, but I can recall when my dad used to... My father was a wrestler when he was a young man. And I can recall when I was a kid, my dad would take me down to a place in Dallas called the Sportatorium. It was where the wrestling matches were. Juan Humberto and, trying to think of some of these names, Billy Edwards and so forth, these professional wrestlers, just like they have them now, these shows they put on. But in those days, they weren't shows. Somebody actually won in those days. You know, not that I've been seeing them, but but it wasn't a show. It was something real. So Paul, in trying to describe, he said if you've got some adversities, if you have some problems, some burdens, some heartaches, some reversals, Paul spoke in language that folks would understand. Sometimes people come here and say, oh, Brother Hiles, you're so shallow. Yes, I know. That's another place I'm like Paul, too. Well, you're always using homespun crude illustrations. Yes, I know that, and Paul did, too. Paul used wrestling to get his point across. He said, press, but not pen. And I can recall when Dad and I'd be at the sport tour, and I'm not advising you go, but my dad took me, and I couldn't help it. And then I wanted to go. So one wrestler would get another one down. And as you know in wrestling, you folks that don't know, you win a fall. You don't win a game. You win a fall. You don't make a touchdown. You make a fall or a pin. When you take a fellow's shoulders and you push his shoulders or somehow get both his shoulders to touch the mat, and the referee goes, and that's the pin. That's the fall. You win the fall. Or you pinned your man. You used to call it two out of three falls. The main event will be two out of three falls between Juan Humberto and Billy Edwards and so forth. Now, if you pin a fella and the referee goes and he lifts his shoulder up, then you haven't pinned him yet. And the referee goes and then he lifts his shoulder up, then you still doesn't count for a fall. But if he goes three times, then you lose the fall, and if you're in a one-fall match, you lose the entire match. Now, what's Paul saying? He's taking a simple little illustration about wrestling, and he's saying, do you have reversals? Do you have burdens? Have you been knocked down? Have you been defeated, seemingly defeated? Are you low? Have you lost a little bit? Paul said, okay. He said, you may have been pressed, but not thin. Now, anybody can get down, but the good people get up. Those who have it get back up. Anybody can lose for a fall, but those who have it get back up. And so I can recall looking and watching the rest of the match, and Juan Humberto is my favorite wrestler. And somebody get him down, and his shoulders against, and the referee goes, and I'd say, raise your shoulder, Juan! Get it up! Get it up! Hey, Juan! Get it up! Get it up! Get it up! Please get it up! And we'd all scream. What was it? Juan, you're about to be pinned. Okay, so you're down. Okay, so you're pressed. Okay, don't lose. Don't be pinned. Get the shoulder up. And I'm talking to somebody this morning. The devil's got you down. I mean, the devil has pressed you. Don't let him pin you. Get back on your feet. Hold your shoulder up. Stay in the battle. Don't quit. Don't quit. Now look down in the next place. It said perplexed, but not in despair. Now bear in mind, trouble, not distress, means pressed, but not pinned. Next, perplexed, but not in despair. I checked that out, and here's what it says. It says, no way to go, but found one. In football language, we'd say, no hole, but he went through the line anyway. Paul was, they must have some kind of a game back in those days, like football, where that you had to go through a line of men. And Paul said, okay, you come, you get the ball, you put it under your arm. You run towards the line. Now, you and I both know, those of us who know football know, that you say, a fellow, they made a hole in right tackle. The tackle blocked this way and the guard blocked this way and the fellow goes through the hole. But there are times when the fellow won't block. There are times when the opposing fellow does not feel led to be moved. And so the fellow runs, there's no hole. Now, you've seen runners like Gale Sayers. They don't have to have a hole. They just go on through. So Paul is saying, are you pressed? Don't be thin like a wrestler. Are you unable to get through? Can't find your way through? Find a way through like a football player. From the third place it says, we're persecuted but not forsaken. And I checked that, and he is talking about a runner in a race. And he says, falling behind but not left behind. Falling behind but not left behind. Now follow me. Paul comes to people this morning in this room. Some of you, the devil's got you down. Some of you have stumbled by in sin. Some of you students in college have submitted demerits that you're off the list, or you've been kicked out of school, or you have some demerits and you're about to be expelled from school. Some of you high school students have not had a good semester, and you've not lived right, and you've not been right with God, and you've done things wrong, and you know it, and you've been punished for it, and you're down. And some of you folks this morning in this room, some of you dear older people, God bless you. Health has not been your lot this year. You've had many reversals and you don't feel well and you spent some time in the hospital. Or maybe this morning you have a loved one in the hospital. Or maybe life has been unkind to you seemingly and there have been many reversals. Paul comes to those of you this morning who've been knocked down or been set back a bit. And Paul says, okay, you're down. But he said, like a wrestler, you're pressed, but don't be pinned. Like a football ball carrier, you don't find a hole, but go through anyway. Like a runner, you have been left behind, but catch up. And like a boxer, you're knocked down, but you're not knocked out. Now, may I take just a few minutes with each one of these. First, press but not pinned. Press but not pinned. I'm talking this morning to a widow in this building, numbers of you, but I'm thinking of one now. You have some children. You've had to rear the children by yourself. You've had to make a living. You've had to be a mother and a father. Christmas is coming. You don't know how you're going to finance the children's Christmas, and you don't know what you're going to say to the children. And it just seems like the whole weight of the world is down upon your shoulders. And it seems like that you've been pressed down. Let me tell you something, dear lady. Don't be pinned. Don't give up. Don't let your shoulder touch the mat. Don't be pinned. Get up. There's always a way out. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness and all I have to do is follow. You got any rivers that seem to be uncrossable? God in the mountains you cannot tunnel through. God specializes in things that seem impossible. He knows a thousand ways to make a way for you. I'm simply saying, if the load of life has you bent down today, and if the devil's on top of you, and it's not depressed your body, your shoulders, lift up your shoulder. Hold it up. Don't let it pin you. God will give you the strength to win the victory. If you're depressed, don't be pinned. I was sitting on the platform last Monday night at the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I spoke to the 3,500 delegates of the annual convention of the Southwide Baptist Fellowship. I looked and I saw the men on the platform. Sitting right over here, was Dr. Jack Hudson, pastor of the Northside Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Dr. Hudson walks like this. He's looped over like this. And he's built the largest church in all of North Carolina. He has rheumatoid arthritis, I understand. And he'll never be able to straighten up again. And he walks, you know him, Brother Helton. He walks with a stooped shoulder all the time. There was a time when the doctor said he couldn't make it. There was a time when they said he'd never be able to preach or pastor a church. He was pressed, but he wouldn't be pinned. He got up off the mat. Now he's got the devil down, about to pin him. Has built the largest church in all of North Carolina, pressed but not pinned. On the program also, sitting beside me, was the great Dr. Lee Robertson. Dr. Robertson, when he was a pastor of the large Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, the largest church in Tennessee and one of the largest churches in the world. Dr. Robertson, when his young man, his little girl, Joy, was taken in death, he was pressed, but he wasn't pinned. I can recall the day when his local association of Baptists censured him and tried to put him out of business, and he was on the bottom. He was pressed, but he wasn't pinned. Just last year, his voice began to fail him. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "You have paralyzed vocal cords. You'll never preach again." I was in Chattanooga preaching at Dr. Robertson's church last February. I leaned over and I said, "Dr. Robertson, how long has it been since you preached?" And he said with a weak voice, he said, "It's been many weeks." I said, "Would you ever preach again?" And Dr. Robertson said, "The doctors say there's no hope. There's no hope." Can you imagine that great man of God never being able to open his Bible and preach the Word of God again? He was pressed, but not pinned. And a few months ago, he walked in his pulpit, and I'm happy to announce to you that he's preaching every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night in his pulpit. I'm simply saying, every great man I know has had times when he was down and his shoulders about to be pinned, and we shouted, "Lift up your shoulder, one! Lift it up!" And the man lifted it up, and under the great load of burden of sin and disease and discomfort and heartache and sorrow and sadness, he was about to be pinned, but he lifted his shoulders up, and he would not be pinned, and he rose to win the victory. We heard the other day, I'll go on about this meeting. I looked up, and I saw Dr. Monroe Parker sitting over here on the left, great evangelist, Dr. Parker. When his young man, he and his wife were riding down the highway, a drunken driver came over the hill, hit him head on, killed his wife instantly. He was pressed, but he was not pinned. Looked back in the back, and though he was not speaking, there was Dr. John Rice sitting back in the back of the platform, and Dr. John Rice was 6 years of age. His mother died, and he has had no mother for these over 70 years. He was pressed, but he was not pinned. Dr. Bill Rice, a little baby girl, when he lived in Chicago, Dr. Bill Rice, a little baby girl, got sick and had a 106-degree temperature. And the doctor said she has spinal meningitis, I think it was, some kind of disease, and said her eardrums had been burned. She'll never hear again. And that little girl has never heard from that day till this. She's been stone deaf. And Dr. Bill was pressed, and Kathy was pressed, but they were not pinned. Let me tell you something this morning. The great difference in success and failure in life is what it takes to pin you. Everybody's going to get pressed. Everybody's going to be thrown down. Well, I can recall this church this morning becoming the first church in 2 weeks to ever have 20,000 in Sunday school, and the biggest Sunday school and biggest attendance of any church in the whole world. And we're on top. The sun is shining brightly. A new building is about to be built. And blessed be God, I took a physical and passed it too. And that's the most wonderful thing of all. But I'm saying that it's bright now, and the sun is shining. It's not always been that way. And those of you that can recall the times when I walked in this pulpit and we wondered if we'd be counted out. But every time it seemed like the devil got this church down and got our shoulders against the mat, it seemed like that somebody came up to the preacher and said, "Preacher, I'm for you." And that pulled my shoulder off the mat again. Oh, you listen to me. It's no disgrace to be down. It's a disgrace to stay down. It's no disgrace to get pressed. It's a disgrace to get pinned. Rise up, O people of God. Lee Robertson's are made from men who are pressed but not pinned. First Baptist Churches of Hammond are made from people who are pressed but not pinned. Success is made from people who are pressed and down and defeated but will not quit. Rise up and win the battle in the end. But there's a second. No hole, but he found one. Where it says, perplexed but not in despair, it means no way to get through. The word perplexed there means I don't see a way. I don't see a single way. And this morning there are some of you that cannot see your way through tomorrow. No way! Likens it to a football player who runs toward the line and the line is all full and there's no way to get through and the hole is not there, but he says, I'll find the way through. Recall when Joe Boyd was a young man, he's now a preacher. He was All-American tackle, Texas A&M. But he had playing fullback for him, a fellow named Jarin John Kimbrough. Anybody ever hear of Jarin John Kimbrough? He was the Bronco Nagurski of his day. He was the Larry Zonka. He was the meanest running back in the whole country. Joe Boyd used to line up across from the tackle. Old Joe would line up and he'd look at the tackle across from him and he'd say, "Fella, I got news for you. I'm going to tell you what the play is. John Kimbrough is coming right over this tackle. Whenever we count to three, up, one, two, three, the ball's going to be snapped to John Kimbrough and he's coming right through where you and I are right now. Now, I don't know what you're going to do, fella, but I'm getting out of the way." And I can recall sitting on the sideline in the Cotton Bowl. I can recall looking to snap the ball to old John Kimbrough. He had run up there, no hole whatsoever. He just made a hole. I mean, before he got there was no hole. After he ran through, there was a big hole. And that's the way the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying, "Are you down? Get up! No way to get through. Find a way through." He uses this athletic term to say, "Do it, do it, do it." I've said so many times, there's no place in success for a quitter. No place for a quitter. No place for a quitter. No place for a quitter. God hates quitting. I've told you this time and time again. You'll hear it again and again. I've got a dictionary in my office. And I opened the dictionary to Q, and I opened it to the word quit. And I got me a pair of scissors and cut the word quit out. I'm not going to have the word quit in my office. I'm not going to have it in my dictionary. I'm not going to have it. I'm going to, if I get down, I'll not be pinned. If I can't find if there's no hole for hole to go through, I'll find a hole to go through. There's always a way. There's always a way. Lester Olof stood behind this pulpit. He's pressed. He's down. His orphanage has been closed. His ministry seems to have folded. I recall the day I was driving down the highway, turned on the radio, and heard Lester Olof on the radio. He said, "Folks," he said, "the saddest news I've ever had to tell you, I've got to tell you today." He said, I'm being put off this station. It was a station in Corpus Christi, Texas, a 50,000-watt station that he'd been on for 11 or 12 years. But he'd gotten up and fought the Southern Baptist renting of a building they owned to a liquor store. The Southern Baptist in Texas owned a building, and they had leased that building to a liquor store. And Brother Olof fought that action, and anybody who has any sense would fight that kind of action. And but the man who was the head of the Southern Baptist crowd that was that liquor store or that owned the building, at least the liquor store, he also had a part in the radio station. And he got Brother Olof put off the station. And I can recall the last broadcast he had on the station. But the Lord performed a miracle. And in less than 2 years, Brother Olof owned that radio station himself. He owned it. I do not say that he put all the Southern Baptists off of it, but I would not be surprised. But I'm not preaching against Southern Baptists unless they lease stores to the liquor industry, and then I'm preaching against them, or anybody else for that matter. But what I'm saying is this. I'm saying he was down, pressed but not pinned. He couldn't find a way, but he found one. This morning there's a way for you. But you say, "Brother House, if you knew my bills, You know, folks come in my office. Last night a man was in, and he said, folks, here are my bills. How can I make ends meet? I said, there's a way. It's sort of like the fella who was about to jump off the skyway over here in Lake Michigan, the bridge. And a policeman came up and said, hey, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to end it all. I don't want to live. I don't want to live. Hey, he said, don't do it. Life is not that bad. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I don't want to live. He said, give me 5 minutes. Let me have 5 minutes. I'd talk you out of it. Okay, 5 minutes. They talked 10 minutes, and both the policeman and the fella jumped off the bridge. And folks come to my office, and they say, Brother Hiles, I've got a problem. And I say, there's a way through. And so after they tell me their problem, we both commit suicide. But there is a way through. There is a way through. There is a way through. But you see, I can't see it. Aren't you glad you can't see it? If you could see it, it wouldn't give God a chance to show you how strong he is, would it? But you say, preacher, it just doesn't seem possible. I know. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Oh, but you say, Brother Hiles, I've got a heart that's broken in two this morning. I feel like somebody's taken a knife and just stuck the knife right in my heart. And I don't feel like life is worth living. Okay, I know. But don't let the devil pin you. I mean, if some this morning, some of you, the referee's already gone. The others of you, he's gone. Get your shoulder up. But you see, I don't see a hole through the line. You just take off toward the line. God will open the hole before you get there. Don't stop. Keep on going. There's a third athletic term here. Persecuted but not forsaken, which means falling behind but not left. It likens to a fellow for the race. Stand up here. We're going to run a race. Come here. We're going to run a race. And I get a little tired, and you get ahead of me. And I'm falling behind. Thank you. That's what it means. It says you're falling behind, but it says not left. He says, you may fall behind in the race, young people. You may fall behind in the race, but you won't fall so far behind what you can't catch up. When I was a paratrooper in World War II, we had to run 10 miles a day without stopping back in those days. 10 miles a day. Not on a track, but on a highway, up and down hills, with boots on, not tennis shoes, not track spikes, but boots. And we'd run for 10 miles. And I never was a real strong fella. I was always an athletic kind of fella, but I never did have bulging muscles or anything. And we had big, strong fellas, and we'd run. And we had to count cadence while we'd run. Hup, two, three, four. Hup, two, three, four. Hup, two, three, four. Hup, two, three, four. Had to count cadence. Oh, I'd run about a half a mile, and I'd think, good night, I got 9.5 miles to go, and I just can't make it another step. But here's what I decided to do. I decided I wouldn't try to run 10 miles. I decided to try to run the next step. The next step. And I can recall when I'd run, I'd say, just one more step, just one more step. One more step, just one more. Like, make the next one, and now 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 the next one. Did you know we'd have hundreds of men fall out of the race? I saw a little All-American football player from Lake Forest University over here stumble and fall out of the race, and I looked down. I thought, good night, that big giant, he's fallen out and is almost unconscious, and I'm still running. The wrong one's fallen out. And there I was. You know why I ran the race? I never stopped. You know why? Because I just tried to take the next step. Just try to take the next step. You say, Brother Hiles, how can I get by in 1974? Don't worry about 1974 yet, honey. You got Monday, December 3rd, 1973 to worry about now. I recall that little lady in Texas who was sick and had cancer. And the doctor said she couldn't live a week. She was a widow. She had one little boy. And the little lady went to her face and said, dear God, keep me alive today so I can bear my boy. And Lord, I won't talk to you about tomorrow. I just want to be alive today. And then the next morning, she'd wake up and she'd say, Lord, keep me alive today. And the next morning, she'd wake up and say, keep me alive today. And the next morning, she'd wake up and say, keep me alive today. And she's still alive after all these years. Why? Just one more step. Listen to me. Don't you worry about 1974. You worry about making it through today. Paul said, are you behind? Have you fallen behind in your payments? Have you fallen behind in the race? Are you losing? Well, You may be behind, but you can still catch up. You can still catch up. I never stand up here and look at little Richard Miller out here without thinking along this line a bit. Richard Miller has no arms. We get used to him because he's here so much. Richard Miller has no legs. When Richard Miller, he doesn't shake hands, he shakes stub. He holds his arm out about that long, and it comes to a point, just comes to a point in skin wrapped around the point like you'd take a your hand like this and just wrap skin around it. And he has no hand, just a little stub right up here. Richard Miller, every right in the world to be an invalid, every right in the world to have given up, every right in the world to be in a rest home somewhere. But Richard Miller plays a guitar. Plays a guitar. Richard Miller plays the organ. No arms, no legs. Plays the organ. Richard Miller travels across this country. Richard Miller fell in love. Richard Miller got married. Richard Miller's a father. Why? Pressed but wasn't penned. Why fell behind but caught up? Why couldn't find a way but went on but made it anyway? Why knocked down but wasn't knocked out? I was in next week after the next I'll be in Elkton, Maryland. I was there a year ago. A pastor said, I want to introduce you to my secretary. Well, I pictured what she'd be like, you know. Maybe she's some middle-aged lady that's very, very friendly or nice. Maybe some young, attractive lady. He said, I want you to meet my secretary. Well, I was selling books at the book table, and I said, look, I can't. Now, I want you to meet my secretary now. I want you to meet my secretary. Oh, okay. He said, come on. I want you to meet my secretary. So I went inside a room over to the corner of the auditorium. There's a fellow in a wheelchair there. This pastor stopped there at the wheelchair. He said, I want you to meet my secretary. I said, where is she? He said, it's not a she, it's a he. This is he. I reached out my hand to shake hands. He didn't reach his hand out. I thought he was unfriendly. I said, my name's Jack Hiles. He said, I can't move my hands. He said, I'm paralyzed from here down. I can't move a foot. I can't move a finger. Well, I said, the pastor said, you're his secretary. He said, I am. The pastor said, he types every letter I write. And I said, how? And the pastor said, show him. And he got something that looked like a pen with a flat end, and he stuck it in his mouth and pulled out a portable typewriter and began to throw like I do. But like that. And he typed. And I said, sir, I admire you. The pastor said, let him sign your Bible. He got his pen, and pastor unscrewed it in like that, and he got his pen out, signed his name, and a scripture in my Bible. Now, you listen to me today. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. But you say, I'm discouraged. Okay, you're pressed, but not pinned. But you say, I just can't see my way through. Okay, you can't see a way, but God will find a way if you'll just keep on going. Amen. But you say, Brother Howell, you don't understand it. Understand it, I've fallen so far behind. Okay. The Bible said you've fallen behind, but catch up. But you say, I've been knocked down so many times. Yeah, I know. But you don't have to be knocked out. I was out in Denver, Colorado, driving down the street. Two little kids were fighting. Must have been about 12 years of age. One little kid called off, knocked that kid down. He's bleeding. Guy got up, wiped off his blood. That's where you wipe off your blood when you sleep. Everybody knows that. Like that. He got back up and he came back in, you know, and this guy hit him again. Kid been over double like that. I said, hey, fellas, don't fight! And the boy said, mister, don't stop the fight. Don't stop it. The one is getting beat. And I said, man, you're going to be killed. He said, no, I'm not going to be killed. I'm going to win. And I saw something in his eyes.
I saw that big bully knock him down 7 straight times. You say, you're cruel letting it happen. No, no. I was about to see a great leader born. And finally, after the 7th time, as a kid got up, wiped for the 7th time the blood off his nose, and he looked at me and he said, Mister, I got my second wind. He waded into that kid like a windmill. And as I drove off, I handed this kid $1 who had been down 7 times, but not out. And as I walked away, the other kid was stone cold dead in the market. And this kid walked up and put his foot on his body and said, That's what it, that, you say, that's not my kind of preaching. I know it because you don't believe the Bible. That's Paul's kind of preaching. And that's exactly what Paul meant when he said, knocked down, but not knocked out. You need not turn to it, but listen to me as I read to you the progression.